Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. And, of course, David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Road. Make sure to check out David Hobbs for all the best in new and used cars. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is the maestro himself, David Hobbs. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Steve. I like the intro. That's very good.
Well, you know what? And that's the theme today for Formula One. Yes, the party is over, isn't it? Lewis Hamilton, I think we had, if those Ferrari fans are thinking, well, just maybe we can make some hay against Lewis. And that did not work out, did it?
Well, it hasn't yet. Because we've got the race run yet. We've got the two Mercedes locking out the front row, which is, you know, for about, what, sixth, seventh time this year, Lewis Hamilton's on his 18th pole. He's about to score his 50th, what a good win, score his 50th win for Mercedes. But, you know, that's why they have the races. Things go wrong. I mean, that first turn at Suzuka, very fast entry, and then, you know, a tight kind of exit, which is turn two. Then you have the dreaded S's, which are very, very tricky. And the Degner curve, which is that downhill right-hander just before we go under the bridge. That's a tricky turn. So there's all sorts of things that go wrong. But Sebastian Vettel, what did he do? Qualified ninth. He has never won a race from lower than the fifth on the grid. So, yeah, not looking terribly good for Vettel. Obviously, all sorts of blame has already been cast around.
Well, I think what hurt last week the most was not Hamilton winning, but was Vettel not being able to get second place. And so when you have Hamilton and Bottas in the Mercedes finish, you 1-2, it's just a kick in the jibs for Ferrari. I think That was, if you could split them up, maybe there's a glimmer. But I think going into Japan, I think they're thinking, oh, boy. Especially there was a spot during the race, early in the race, where Vettel is making a run at Hamilton. And then you just saw Hamilton just kick it in and with that new Mercedes upgrade just pull away from him. And I saw that and I thought, oh, boy, that's not good for Ferrari, is it?
Well, because Ferrari had their upgrade, which was looking really strong at places like Silverstone and Austria. But since then, you know, the FIA have been having a look at their engine mods and have added a couple of sensors to check it out. And ever since they've done that, they haven't been anything like as dominant as they were. You know, everybody was saying going into Spa after the break, hey, you know, Ferrari is definitely on top. They have got the fastest car. But it doesn't appear now as if they have got the fastest car. Vettel seems to get demoralized. He's always been a bit of a whiner. I mean, they all whine like hell when things go wrong. But, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, Vettel, if you get stuck behind traffic, it's, where's the blue flag? What's getting him out of the way? What's Alonso think he's doing? All that sort of stuff. And you don't hear Hamilton doing that much. But certainly with pole at Suzuka and obviously his teammate flanking him, things are looking very good for Hamilton for tonight. And with a 50-point lead, if he stretches it to much more than 50, then it becomes very difficult for Ferrari with just, what, four races left? Suddenly it's looking pretty bleak and looking pretty good for Hamilton to get a fifth world championship, and there'll be only two other guys that have done that. One is Fangio, Manuel Fangio, who's got five. And, of course, Michael Schumacher was seven. So, you know, it could be a pretty momentous, it's going to be a momentous year for one of them, because either he or Vettel is going to get five championships. So, yeah, as we get down to the wire, things are looking good. And Ferrari keep making weird mistakes. Obviously, one of the most egregious was allowing Raikkonen to get the toe off his teammate, Vettel, at Monza, of all places, where they're doing like 210 miles an hour down the straight. So you get a hell of a toe, and that put Raikkonen on the pole. And then, of course, they made a couple of mistakes at Singapore. So, yeah, and their strategy didn't seem to be working out terribly well. Bernie Eccleston said a very incorrect thing the other day. He said, the team has become too Italian, which is, in this day and age, you shouldn't say things like that, really. But I mean, I don't think that's the case, because they've got a pretty diverse crew there, engineers, and I don't know, just seem to be running out of ideas. And of course, when your back's against the wall, you start to take risks. It's the whole thing about Formula One. Obviously, the whole thing is a risk, and the drivers take a risk, and the teams take a risk to try and win and pull off a flanker on the other guy. And if it works, you look like a hero, and if it doesn't work, you look like a chump.
Well, and the other interesting story, I thought, was Charles Leclerc, who once again looks very good, was actually running fifth. And not only am I thinking, wow, this kid's looking good, but here we have a sauber actually running in fifth place for a while in Russia. He ended up finishing seventh, but that team is just going through a resurgence, aren't they, in the second half of the season?
A massive resurgence, and I'm not sure why. I mean, obviously, they've obviously got better Ferrari engines this year. Last year, the Haas team, the Gene Haas team, had the current Ferrari engine, and still does. And Sauber had a previous generation engine. This year, they have the current generation engine. But their chassis has obviously improved. And I think Leclerc is one of those guys that motivates people terribly, like Sebastian Vettel did when he was with Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lewis Hamilton did at McLaren, and now at Mercedes. You know, those really fast guys are massive motivators, and everybody suddenly perks up and thinks, oh my God, you know, we can win this. And the improvement in Sauber this year has been absolutely outstanding. And it will be interesting to see Leclerc alongside Vettel next year at Ferrari, quite honestly.
Well, it'll be interesting now on the flip side of that, though. Maybe, you know, because we were discussing this up in Elkhart Lake a couple weeks ago, you know, we were just flummoxed that Raikkonen would actually consider going back to Sauber. But seeing their performance over the last couple of races and that, maybe Ferrari told him, okay, if you do this, this is what we'll give you. And maybe he's thinking, well, maybe, you know, it might be a lot more competitive than we may think next year in Sauber.
Boy, I mean, yeah, but, you know, still and all, the difference in driving for Ferrari and driving for Sauber.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And the money, though, too.
At his age, I just don't see the motivation for it. At his age and his success and his, you know, why on earth would he want to go out like that? It just seems weird to me. But he obviously likes being at the Formula One races and being part of the Formula One scene. Which he could be without actually sitting behind the wheel, but it just seems a funny thing for a guy like him to want to do myself. But and my real bone of contention is to keep someone like Esteban Ocon or some of these other young guys out. You know, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Norris has got himself a driver with McLaren, but I'm not sure that's such a great deal at the moment. But yeah, Lando Norris. This guy, George Russell, seems to be very, very good. And I hate to see those guys hanging out on the line to dry while someone like Kimi Raikkonen just cruises around and picks up, you know, 4 or 5 million a year.
It's a tough job if somebody has to do it, David. So you were out at Monterey with half of our other on-air staff, it seems like, on this show. And for Rennsport, and how did that go for you out there, running and seeing old fellows, old friends like George Vollmer and those guys?
Gary, it was absolutely fabulous, you know, just the whole thing. The weather was gorgeous. We were staying in a fantastic hotel right on the bay, unfortunately, down on the bay there, you get all that funny early morning mist and cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But every day at the track, which is the sun was shining, and there was just the temperature was perfect. And boy, the amount of Porsches there from for 70 years, starting with the cars they built in 1948 to the absolute current ones, there were hundreds of Porsches there. And just about every driver you could think of, people like Richard Atwood, David Piper, Derek Bell, obviously Justin Bell was there. My old mate Bob Varsha was there. Jackie Ickx was there. And all the hierarchy from Porsche, Dr. Singer, who, you know, looked after me and Fitzy back in the 80s when he responsible for the 962. I mean, all those guys were there. It was just absolutely magic. Of course, as you say, George Palmer, Vic Gelford, Jackie Ickx. I say Jackie Ickx, yeah, he was there. I mean, it was really, really cool. And a lot of racing, but of course, it's always a bit half-hearted in those vintage events. Although there were some pretty, you know, all the new guys were there, people like Patrick Long, and a whole bunch of the current Porsche drivers were there, as well as a whole bunch of, you know, older ones. So it was an amazing event, and we're going to have to wait another, 3 years or 4 years for the next one. But the crowd, too, this is the most amazing thing, was that over the weekend they had 85,000 people.
Incredible.
To watch, basically, yeah. To just come and look at cars. I mean, the racing, you know, they were out on the track, yeah. And the diehards were out there in their deck chairs and their coolers and all that, sitting there watching the racing. But you're just watching all these fantastic cars. You know, the races with, like, the 917s in and the 962s, and you just looked at all that stuff. You thought, wow, God. You know, even the 962 is 30 years old. I keep thinking it was a new car. And it's 30 years old. But, no, it was great. It was absolutely fabulous.
We're talking with David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And David, it's time for you and your lovely wife to head south here, and coming up in the next week or so. Any other travels for the rest of the year?
We're heading south in about an hour and a half, actually.
Okay. beep on the way by.
we're gonna stop at Milwaukee for the night with Greg, and then ease off tomorrow morning, because we're gonna drive down in our new CRV. Purchased, of course, at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Great Bay. But so we're taking it down ourselves. Could have maybe asked Andrew to drive it down, but we thought we'd drive down ourselves. And I like driving on Sunday because it's way less trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Monday being Columbus Day should also be relatively traffic free. Because we take a couple of 3 days to get
David
there.
Hobbs!
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer says
Sparky
hi.
Sparky says hi.
Who's that?
Sparky.
Sparky. Sounds like he got spark attached to some.
He's fired up today.
I guess he is. Anyway, so we're heading off down there. We'll be back in November briefly and for a weekend, see Greg, and he's having a bit of a do. And then, I haven't got any much travel going on. No, I should be going up on Thanksgiving weekend to Mr. Diffie's house in Connecticut, because on Monday, the 26th, the day after the last race, we're doing a stage show at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Connecticut, which will probably be our last stage show together. It's me, Lee, and Steve. And Sean Kelly, our stat man, comes on and tells people a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And then at Christmas, we're going to go to England for a month. So,
Very good. Well, yeah. David, we certainly appreciate discussing your travels throughout the year, and it was actually fun spending time with you, too. And you can still get the Hobbo book on Amazon, correct?
I was just going to mention, I forgot to mention Hobbo. It's gone quite well, really. But it is available at Amazon. It's available at quite a few other bookshops, I believe. But Amazon is the place that most people get it. And, it's still around and still going, and I'm still signing it.
I hear fantastic crowds every time you're around to sign that book. So congratulations. That's great.
Okay. Well, you were there, Steve, a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, a couple of times. Yeah. That was Jeff, by the way, the Polish pipe bomb over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was shocked that there was great crowds while Steve was there. So I know everybody's there to see you. And then, you know, you bring in Steve. So that a nice little add-on.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people said, who's that guy with Steve's optic?
I think you got that twisted around there, Mr. Hobbs.
All right. Well, David, we certainly appreciate it. And perhaps we'll get you on one more time before the end of the season. And we'll go from there. So thank you, David. Appreciate your time. All right, that was
Thank you, Steve. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, David. And now is David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.